So with one out, a runner reaches first base for the Dock Spiders as Patrick Graham steps into the batter's box. Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield coming up over the PA, and the vibe curator on point right now with the rain coming down. This one popped straight foul back out of play to bring it to an 0-1 count. Vibe curator, a self-proclaimed term. Ryan Williams on the PA today. I feel like I've called him out way too many times on the broadcast. He doesn't get more. 0-1 count here is outside for ball number one. It's a 1-1 count. And, well, the rain's certainly coming down, and it hasn't affected Morales. It's really, maybe that's been the difference in the game right now so far. 1-1 count is a foul back to make it 1-2. This game was pretty dry up until about the sixth inning, and that's when Morales came into the game, and he really just worked through it. Maybe he's some sort of waterbender. We'll give him the nickname Waterbender. Just working great in the rain. He's got a 1-2 lead in the count against Patrick Graham. The pitch here misses outside and brings it to a 2-2 count. Tommy Guggen still over there on first base. A little surprised not to see him taken off. It's going to be a little bit tougher, I'd have to imagine, for the catcher to send a ball down to second through these conditions. But it also might be tougher to get the traction on the base paths. Is this one a little outside for ball number three? 3-2 count for Graham, the third baseman. Graham is 1-for-3 on the game. He had an RBI single back in the fourth inning. Here's the pitch for Morales, and it is just high for ball number four, and Guggins will walk on over to first, and that, again, did not miss by much, and Morales probably thinks it should be strike three, but instead it puts runners on first and second with one out, as Mike Spears will come out to talk strategy with Morales. No call to the bullpen just yet, but looks like an arm getting warm out there is, I believe that out there is Jafet Martinez. And Martinez, he had appeared late in the game a couple games ago against Lakeshore, and well, he was the one that unfortunately allowed the walk-off two-run home run from the Chinooks. So this could be like a get-right game for him if they do turn to him, but Alejandro Morales hoping that he can finish out this inning. I assume one more base runner and Morales is done. So runners on first and second with one away. Here's a high grounder towards first base, but foul. So an 0-1 count now as Matt Hansen is at the plate. His 5 RBI game has been stellar today, including 3-for-3 from the plate with that 3 RBI double back in the fourth. He takes this pitch for strike number two, and that's right at the knees. So 3-for-3 from Matt Hansen. He's trying to stay perfect from the plate. He's got a pair of extra base hits, but he's down on the count 0-2. Morales trying to finish off the batter. Here's the payoff, and it is in there. Called strike three. Caught him looking on the outside edge. And there is a huge strikeout for the Rafters. Morales gets out number two in the eighth inning as Landon Mensick will step up to the plate, but that is going to be the night for Morales. He finishes it off with the strikeout, his fourth of the game, and he goes a strong 2 2/3 innings here in Wisconsin Rapids. Jafet Martinez, I believe, the one checking into the game, but we'll confirm and give you a breakdown on him when he comes back here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I pushed through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mornings on WFHR.
Nutella just announced its first new U.S. flavor in 61 years. The new flavor is peanut.
I can just see the boardroom, right, when they were doing this thing.
Oh, gentlemen, we have cornered the market on hazelnut and chocolate. We need something new.
Sir, how about we do peanuts?
Are you telling me you want to do something like peanut butter? That sounds revolutionary.
Brilliant!
Weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Well, Jafet Martinez checks into the game for the Raptors, and the first pitch to Landon Mensick misses for ball number one. Mensick, the right fielder, going up against the righty Martinez. Righty-righty matchup. Martinez, I talked about it a little bit ago. He had a strong first two appearances for the Raptors, but, well, then his last time out got rocked for the walk-off as that pitch is fouled away. Brings it to a 1-1 count for Mensick. Mensick, he's 1-for-4 in the game. He picked up a single in the fourth, but he's been retired two of the other three times. The other time, it was an error that he reached on. A 1-1 count with runners on first and second as this pitch misses high for ball number two. It's a 2-1 count. Over on second base, it's Tommy Guggins. On first, it's Patrick Graham. With two away, the Raptors leading 9-7 in the top of the eighth. Trying to complete a big comeback and a slow delivery as it misses well outside. Both runners were taking off on the stolen bases, and they stay there as the pitch missed wide. So a couple of stolen bases for the Dock Spiders. They're on second and third, and a 3-1 count for Landon Mensick. And Martinez, back in Lakeshore, a lot of people are going to remember the two-run home run in the ninth inning that he allowed, but he also pitched the eighth inning. And in that inning, he went 1-2-3. Long delivery here, and he misses high and outside. That's ball number four. So he isn't going to go 1-2-3 in his outing here. But still, a chance to come out of the inning without any damage being done. Miles Vandenhavel stepping up to the plate. Vandenhavel, he is 0-for-4 in the game. Now, in my eyes, I like to say, hey, that means Martinez is going to have a good at-bat here. But other people might say he's due. This one popped foul and lands outside of the area of play to make it an 0-1 count. Vandenhavel, the center fielder, he has certainly struggled this game, but throughout the season, the Dock Spiders' batting has really struggled, and it really just hasn't today against the Raptors. But more recently, especially with Morales showing off, and Gallegos his first inning as well, They made the most of it as a pitch goes right across for strike number two. It's an 0-2 count. Martinez trying to finish him off. His crowd here is stomping their feet, trying to make as much noise as they can. 0-2 count with two away. The bases are loaded. Rafters down two, trying to keep it that way, but the pitch misses high for ball number one. And this is a huge plate appearance right here. Trying to keep it at a two-run game. The Rafters' offense has been clicking. They'd love to tie it up or even take the lead in the bottom of the frame, but they feel like they've got to keep it here. Here's the 1-2. It's launched, but foul down the left field line. That one bounces high and out of the stadium. Still a 1-2 count for Vandenhavel. And Vandenhavel, a two-way player, listed as a pitcher, righty-righty guy. He's a sophomore from Eastern Arizona College. This pitch is a little far inside, but again, not missing by much, and there's been a couple of those tonight. Morales saw a couple of them, and now Jafet Martinez. It's a 2-2 count with two away. Bases loaded still. Martinez brings the leg up, and he sends it home, and this one's a soft blooper into shallow left center. Dropping back out, Onati makes the catch for out number three, and that does it for the eighth inning. So no runs come home, no hits, no errors, three left on base, and it's 9-7 as we hit the bottom of the eighth here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
So we'll come back here as Dylan Immel is still working on the mound for the Dock Spiders, and he came in earlier in the game and back in that seventh inning where the Rafters scored 6 runs. He relieved Luke Parise, and Parise only went 2/3 of an inning. And well, it's been a pretty good late game for the Rafters, and that's what it feels like it's been. They really dominate the late innings, and they've been good in the early innings. It's been those middle innings that have been the struggle, and they showed that again here in the top of the fourth, allowing those 6 runs. So, as we enter the bottom of the eighth inning, the Rafters down 2. And leading things off, it's Royce Clayton Jr. with Luke Skinner to follow, and Mason Onati due up as well. Those are the three who are due, and if it gets there, Cameron Douglas would bat 4th. But Royce Clayton now stepping up to the plate, a right-handed batter going up against the righty pitcher. Immel trying to shut him down, and now looking back home, Immel brings the ball into his glove and sends it home, but it's outside for ball number one. Clayton, he is 1-for-3 on the night, picked up an RBI single in the seventh. Here as we cross 10:15 p.m. Central Time, it's been a long night. thanks to a 48-minute delay to start the game. Swing and a miss here from Clayton makes it 1-1, but after the delay, the game got underway, and it's been going strong since then. Somebody warming up over there in the Rafters bullpen. Is here's a swing and a miss from Clayton to bring it to a 1-2 count. And I actually think that's one of the Dog Spiders warming up in the Rafters bullpen, because when I look down to the Rafters bullpen, there's nobody over there. Nobody's sitting there, and I assume that's got to do with some of the rain that's come down and made it tough to pitch on there. It's a 1-2 count to Clayton. And he swings and misses at this pitch for strike number three. That's the first out of the eighth inning. And the Rafters still needing two more runs to complete this comeback. They'll turn to Luke Skinner, the left-handed batter, to take on the righty pitcher. But talking more about the bullpen, you look down the left field line, and there's a navy jersey warming up there. And I see a couple of Dock Spiders around there as well, so seems like they had to evacuate over there on the right field side as this first pitch misses high and away for ball number 1-0 count. Skinner from Loyola Marymount University entered today batting 240 on the season with an 835 OPS. In large part thanks to a pair of home runs that he has, but he has 8 RBIs as well. I mean, he's been good this year. I'm going to keep that rolling. The 1-0 count is in there, called for strike number one. One of those two home runs came last night. The other one came in that 5-run first inning back against Wausau last Wednesday. Skinner 0-for-1 in the game after pinch hitting for J.J. Garcia last frame, as this one misses inside for ball number two. It's a 2-1 count. Skinner went back out and played third base, and I realize now that I didn't give you the defensive changes, but it was simple substitutions for every single one. Spencer Davis, who relieved Noah Ruiz, he went in to play second base. J.J. Garcia coming out of the game, he was playing third base, and so Luke Skinner, who pinch hit for him, he plays third base. Swing and a miss from Skinner makes it a 2-2 count. 2-2 with one away, nobody on. Rafters down two runs. This pitch is sent over to the left side of the infield. It's dying in the grass. A quick throw across, and that's a nifty play from the shortstop, as it's, I believe, Colin Senkpiel who throws it from short all the way across the field. Actually, looks like Patrick Graham has moved over there. So Patrick Graham, a defensive change. He goes from third over to short, as Colin Senkpiel, who came in to relieve Jalen Jellings, he goes to play third base. Either way, it's 6-3 on the put out, two away, and bases empty as Mason Onati steps up with a chance to keep the inning alive. This pitch missing away, it's a 1-0 count. Rafters needing some offense here. Onati, he's reached base twice. He's 1-for-3 on the game with an RBI single, and he did score when he walked back in the seventh. 1-0 count is taken for strike number one. And Onati, that stolen base came when he came in the third inning on the single. He also had an RBI on that single. It was the only run up until the seventh inning for the Rafters. Swings and misses at a pitch outside the zone to bring it to a 1-2 count. And Onati entered today with a .400 batting average thanks to a 4-for-4 game that he had yesterday. 933 OPS. He's been really getting on base at quite a high rate. Still without an extra base hit, as Mason Onati went back real quick to the dugout to get an equipment change, and now ready to go. Onati steps back into the batter's boxes. I mean, still, this rain has been unrelenting. It's been coming down all night long, it feels like. Well, really, for the last few innings, it's been coming down. Field still pretty wet, but playable. 1-2 the count. Here's the pitch. It's a swing and a miss, and that's three up, three down in the eighth inning for Dylan Immel, who really has found his stuff. And he goes and takes care of the Rafters, who score no runs on no hits, no errors, nobody left on base. And it is 9-7 as we enter the ninth, potentially final inning of the game here from Witter Field. This is WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You've been listening to Rafter Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, American Shaman, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, S&S Distributing, Econ Electric, Greenaway RV, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Pro Seamless of Wisconsin, Swiftwater Ice Cream, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Listen into Rafters Baseball here on WFHR all summer long, or check us out on the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
So the Rafters getting back to work out here with Jafet Martinez trying to keep rolling along as he checked in the eighth inning and walked a batter, but then retired Miles Vandenhavel for out number three. So Tyler Stack will lead things off for the Dock Spiders as we're into the top of the ninth inning. Rafters down on the scoreboard 9-7 thanks to a six-run seventh inning. The Dock Spiders had their own six-run inning back in the fourth. They put up six and felt pretty good, and that was off a mix of Matthew Pinal and Tony Torres. Brent Gallegos came in and allowed one run, and Alejandro Morales goes 2 2/3 innings without allowing a run for Wisconsin Rapids. A pretty good line for him, and Jafet Martinez hoping to keep up his scoreless outing as well. As Tyler Stack, the right-handed batter from Xavier, is going to swing and miss at the first pitch. First strike.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Stack has flown out to the outfield his last three times as that pitch misses outside for
Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Mock, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball coming up a little bit later on today. The crew are on a roll.
Eight in a row.
I know.
Two sweeps.
Pretty great.
Wow, I can't wait for it all to come crashing down. I'm sorry.
Says a true fan. Yeah. The Brewers at the Reds this afternoon. Our broadcast starts at 5:35. You can listen to the game, but you have to listen on terrestrial radio. So catch it on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls near Butternut. And WBZH in Hayward. The crew at the Reds. Go crew. Our broadcast starts today at 5:35. This is something that I think can slip past a lot of folks. The government comes out and says, look at this great thing we did. And no one double checks to see if the great thing was actually done.
What?
Doge.
Oh, yeah.
Doge seems to do this quite frequently, take a lot of wins. Look at what we did. We're Doge. Yay.
Now look over here. We're going to do something else.
And then it turns out what they said was not exactly what happened. So Doge has come out and said that they have made sure that people who were not supposed to be getting paid Social Security are no longer getting paid Social Security. If you remember, in a speech on March 4th, Donald Trump said that, quote, we are identifying shocking levels of incompetence and probable fraud in the Social Security program for seniors. Believe it or not, government databases list 3.47 million people from ages 120 to 129. Money is being paid to many of them.
Wait. Hit the reverse real quick. From ages what to what?
Yes. Now, this has been talked about. The Social Security database uses it.
So this one is popped straight back foul and out of play. It's a 2-2 count to William Horner. Martinez looks back to second base. Now comes home with it. The 2-2 is a little bit away to make it a 3-2 count. So a 3-2 count here as Martinez looks back to second. Sends it home. This one's ripped right over to second base, and it's out of the glove of Davis, who wasn't able to pick it back up in time to throw it over to first. The runner does stay at second, though, because he thought that he was going to be doubled up at second base. So Jimmy Mantuano III over there at second, and William Horner makes it over to first base. After six pitches there, a big one, and it goes in the books as an E4. So nobody out. Runners on first and second for Jonathan Fitz. Fitz 2-for-4 on the night. Pair of singles and a pair of strikeouts. Righty-righty matchup shows bunt. This pitch missing well inside, though, and nearly hits him, but partially because Fitz had kind of leaned into his bunt attempt. Trying to move that lead runner and also the runner behind him put two into scoring position, but also put one just 90 feet away. The 1-0 is bunted backwards and moves to a 1-1 count. So it's a 1-1 count, nobody out, top of the ninth inning. Rafters still down two with runners on first and second. Jonathan Fitz, the catcher, and he's up at the plate right now. The 1-1 is once again fouled away and moves to a 1-2 count. Up next, Colin Sankpeel. He pinch hit for Jalen Jellings last inning, so Sankpeel going to come back up for his next plate appearance. Unless, of course, a triple play happens, which, hey, you never know. There's a good chance. Well, not really, but as good of a chance as any, you're going to get a triple play. I mean, you got to have two runners on, so those runners on first and second with nobody out in the top of the ninth. It's a 2-2 count. The man from the University of San Diego. Martinez brings the leg up, sends it home. Here's a high chopper over to shortstop. Here's the flip, 6-4 back to the first base in time for out number two. And Mason Onati thought that was three outs. So he was running off the field after turning two, but now he returns to shortstop after the 6-4-3 double play and puts the lead runner over to third base, though. And William Horner was the one that was thrown out at second. So runner on third base, two away, and the man at the plate is Colin Sankpeel. Sankpeel from South Suburban Community College. Right-handed batter, righty-righty matchup. Sankpeel 0-for-1 in the game. First pitch to him is a little high for ball number one. 1-0 the count. And that runner on third base would be the third run lead. And the Rafters really hoping to keep it a two-run game. And a chance to do so, Martinez gets a grounder over to shortstop. Onati picks it up. He throws across, and he's got him in time for out number three. So this time, Onati gets to walk off after a play that he makes. And there's three outs in the frame. No runs come home on the one hit. There was an error, but only one runner left on base. And it's 9-7 as we hit the final bottom frame of the game, unless the Rafters can send it to extra time. We'll see if they can when we come back here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. June is Pollinator Month, and some Wisconsin lawmakers have introduced a package of bills to protect our bees, butterflies, and other insects. The bills would prevent the DNR from using a class of pesticides called neonicotinoids, which are known to harm pollinators. It would also prevent retailers from labeling plants as pollinator-friendly if they've been treated with high levels of pesticides. Great Lakes fisheries could struggle under budget cuts. President Trump is pushing Congress to eliminate the entire biological research program at the U.S. Geological Survey. The ecosystem mission area monitors and conducts research on fish and wildlife populations in the Great Lakes and beyond. If passed, federal wildlife and fisheries research centers across Wisconsin would be shuttered. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues across the state, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
Well, hello and welcome back into Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas as we bring you into the bottom of the ninth. The Rafters down two runs at home trying to make the comeback, and it's Cameron Douglas at the plate. He takes the first pitch for strike number one. It's an 0-1 count. Douglas, he's still looking for his first hit as a Rafter, but did pick up his first RBI in the seventh with the bases loaded walk. The 0-1 is right at the knees for strike number two. Douglas not taking the bat off the shoulders just yet. And he's trying to get a runner on base for the Rafters, down two runs. They were down eight entering the seventh inning, but a sixth spot, and they've really come back into this one as that one's fouled away, so Douglas stays alive. Douglas from Alabama State University. I gave you his introduction a little bit ago, but comes from Georgia. 0-2 count is low and away for ball number one. Douglas, a 6'5", 210-pound right-hander. He's got a ton of power in that bat from Woodstock, Georgia. Northwoods League veteran here, and a 1-2 count to Douglas. Misses away. It's 2-2. Rain still coming down here in the ninth, as it has for the last almost four innings at this point. And only one time did the quick dry have to come onto the field. Maybe would in a little bit if this one goes to extras, as this one is down the third base line, but foul. And Cameron Douglas, after falling down in the count 0-2, he's really fought back in this one, has it at 2-2. And this will be the seventh pitch of the plate appearance, and the fans in the stands are all slamming the bleachers right now. 2-2 count, misses outside. And it's a full count to Cameron Douglas. So still trying to get the first base runner on the board for the Rafters. Cameron Douglas trying to get on any way possible. Ashton Zacher on deck with Jack Guerrero due up. This one's up the middle, trying to get on through, and it does into center field. Douglas is aboard with a leadoff single, his first hit as a Rafter. And it brings the tying run to the plate. Ashton Zacher, a left-handed batter, going up against the right-handed pitcher and trying to come up clutch. He's 1-for-4 in the game after reaching on a fielder's choice his last time up. He got an RBI on that play. And that fielder's choice was just 8 and up. Everyone reached safely. First pitch here to Zacher is a swing and a miss. Makes it an 0-1 count. 0-1 with a runner on first base. Nobody out in the bottom of the ninth. And stepping off from the mound is Dylan Amell, and he's catching some heat from the fans out here. And as that happened, a arm stepped out onto the bullpen rubber for the Dock Spiders. As here's a swing and a miss from Zacher, puts him down in the count 0-2 now. Yesterday, Zacher going 3-for-3 with a pair of walks, so he reached 5 times. Now has an 0-2 count, and this one's fouled away. So he stays alive at the plate, just the way that Cameron Douglas did. Douglas saw 8 pitches in the plate appearance before knocking his single. Now Zacher trying to stay alive at the plate. It's still an 0-2 count. The runner on first, Douglas, not taking off just yet. Here comes the pitch, and Zacher gets under this one, but fouls it towards the light pole right in front of the bullpen. Was going to say the Rafters bullpen, but it's been taken over by the Dock Spiders. The Spiders have infested it. 0-2 count with the runner on first. Fifth pitch of the plate appearance coming this way, and Zacher once again fights it off. He just doesn't go down right now. 5 pitches, all 5 have been strikes. Zacher keeping the count alive. 0-2 count for him. Guerrero to follow, and he's trying to put 2 runners on. This pitch is a little bit inside, and so Zacher, a good eye there, makes it a 1-2 count. Dylan Immel is getting up there in the pitch count. He had thrown 9 pitches in his first plate appearance, but a foul tip catches him on strikes, and so Ashton Zacher now goes down for out number 1 in the ninth inning. Brings up Jack Guerrero to the plate with 1 away, a runner on first base. Again, Guerrero still represents the tying runner and is late on that pitch and swings and misses. 0-1 count. Guerrero is 0-for-4 in the game. He has an RBI, though, back in the seventh inning on the fielder's choice. He has a couple of fielder's choices. Ground out to first as this one is up the middle. This one could be 2, but it takes a weird hop on the grass. And now Douglas is around second. He's over to third base. And the Rafters have runners on the corners, down 2 in the bottom of the ninth. And it took such a weird hop in the infield grass as the Rafters are going to move to another pinch hitter here to replace Pat Costin, going back to a righty, Drew Thompson. And Thompson represents the go-ahead run. Huge opportunity for the Rafters. Jack Guerrero on first, Cameron Douglas on third, and still taking some time here as home plate umpire Daniel Roberts collects a couple of clean baseballs. Dry ones, maybe, well, a little bit drier. Runners on first and third, one away for Drew Thompson. As that pitch misses outside for ball number one. It's a 1-0 count. The Rafters still looking for back-to-back wins for the first time this season. They won their last time out, 16-9, and a big swing and a miss here from Drew Thompson brings it to a 1-1 count. Now taking the time, here comes the pitch from Amell, and Thompson swings and misses again at a pitch high above the zone to bring it to a 1-2 count. And Thompson crushed his first homer of the season over the left field wall on top of the playground out there earlier, trying to do the same thing here, but takes a pitch away for ball number two, and that one just a hair outside the strike zone. Sets the count even at 2-2. Still runners on the corners. Guerrero not taking off. Still yet to have a stolen base for Guerrero. Here's the 2-2 to Thompson. He swings and misses on a foul tip, and that is strike number three. That's the second out of the game, so the Rafters down to their final out. Still trying to tie this one up. Chris Diaz up for his fifth time at the plate today, and he's got a clutch opportunity here. Chris Diaz up at the plate, two away, runners on the corners in the bottom of the ninth. Rafters down two, and it's fouled away by Diaz. Diaz, his last time up, he singled in the seventh inning after previously reaching on an error also in the seventh inning. Prior to that, he was hit by a pitch and struck out swinging in the second. This time he fouls it back, and the Rafters down to their last strike in the game. Once down 9-1, they are only down two here in the bottom of the ninth, but got to make it count. Chris Diaz, a chance to make his name known to Rafters fans. Here's the 0-2. It's sent down the left field line, but hooking foul, and it lands just a couple feet to the left of the line. So Diaz will stay at the plate. And back in the seventh inning, back on his second plate appearance there, he had a very similar count. He was down 0-2, fouled one off, and then he picked up a single. Would love the same thing to happen here. 0-2 count, misses way outside and nearly gets away from the catcher. But instead, it's just ball number one. Catcher Jonathan Fitz still back there. As it's a 1-2 count now with two away. The pitch misses low in the dirt and it gets away, but only enough for Jack Guerrero to go to second. However, that means that the tying runner is now in scoring position for the Rafters. A single from Diaz could knot this one up in the ninth. It's a 2-2 count for Diaz. And he's going to try his best to make something happen here. The runner on third is Cameron Douglas. The runner on second, Jack Guerrero. As this one is in there and gets him to go down on strikes, a swing and a miss, and that does it for the game. The Rafters fight, but can't complete the comeback as they drop the game 9-7 here from Wisconsin Rapids. So they're going to get back to work tomorrow as they hope to split the series here in Wisconsin Rapids 1-1. But the Rafters can't claim two in a row. They dropped the game tonight after a valiant effort. And the final score, once again, 9-7. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, the Rafters post-game show comes up here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Swing for the fences with Solaris FiberFast Internet. Whether you're watching the Rafters online or going head-to-head in your favorite game, we've got the speed to keep you in the zone. No buffering, no strikeouts, just home run service from your hometown team. Proud sponsor of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Baseball Club. Locally owned, locally invested. Get in the game at Solaris.net.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Who makes insurance simple? That's easy. Delta Dental of Wisconsin. So if you ask, what company encourages you to use your benefits for regular preventive care? Or who provides quick service online or by phone? Which insurance offers access to the largest provider networks? Or who helps you save money when you need more than a checkup? The answer's the same. Definitely Delta Dental. For dental and vision insurance made simple, choose Delta Dental of Wisconsin and Delta Vision today.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Well, not the news that Rafters fans wanted to hear. It was a 9-7 loss, the final score here from Witter Field. The Rafters ended up keeping it close after falling down in the game 9-1, and that was entering the seventh inning. But entering the seventh, 9-1, they didn't let that stop them. As soon as they got rid of Ethan Cole, Rafters bats came alive, but couldn't stay alive for long enough. It was a huge comeback that they needed to take up, and they weren't able to get the win as they drop. But let's go ahead and go back over how it happened. In the first inning, it was two runs that came across off of Matthew Pinal, who didn't have a bad start. He ended up going 3 1/3, allowing five runs, three earned, and a couple of those coming after he checked out of the game with Tony Torres coming in early and a little bit earlier than we're used to seeing him. He struggled a little bit. But back in the first inning, though, a couple of runs came across. First off on an RBI double from Matt Hansen, and then an error that allowed Hansen to come home and score on Landon Mensick's hit. Then in the bottom of the first, Rafters went down 1-2-3. Second inning comes around, and it was a shutdown frame from Pinal. He allowed a couple of singles, but that was it. They didn't go any further than second base. In the bottom of the second, once again, the Rafters go down 1-2-3. That's four strikeouts through two innings for Ethan Cole. Third inning comes around, and it's three up, three down for Matthew Pinal, thanks to a double play, a 6-3 double play from Onati over to Guerrero. Pretty nice pickup, and that allowed a strikeout to end the third inning. In the bottom of the third, though, the Rafters pick up their first run. They cut the deficit to 2-1. thanks to an RBI single from Mason Onati. Onati also picked up a stolen base there, a few stolen bases for the Raptors throughout the night. Over in the top of the fourth, though, that's when things started to turn around. Matthew Pinal, he retired the first batter with a fly out to right field, and then a single, a walk, and he was checked out of the game after 3 1/3. They turned to Tony Torres for the middle relief, and he issues a walk, an RBI single, a 3-RBI double, and then a single to Landon Mensick before striking out Miles Vandenhavel and getting out of the inning. Well, after that, it was the bottom of the fourth. The Raptors found themselves down 8-1, and they have a hit-by-pitch, but that's the only base runner that reaches, and he stays at first base. Fifth inning comes around, and after a new pitcher checked in, that was Brent Gallegos. He went 1-2-3 in the fifth. Bottom of the fifth, the Raptors go down 1-2-3. Top of the sixth, though, Brent Gallegos issues a walk, allows a single, and then issues another walk and loads the bases as Alejandro Morales comes into the game. Morales, what a good relief performance from him as he allows just the sacrifice fly there before striking out the next two batters to allow just the one run to come across. It was 9-1 after the middle of the sixth. Bottom of the sixth comes around. Raptors pick up a hit from Ashton Zacher, but that's it. Seventh inning, though, 1-2-3 from Morales, so he retired 6 of 6 up to that point. Bottom of the sixth, Raptors still can't score. They're down 9-1. Entering the top of the seventh, though, that's when Morales went down 1-2-3. Again, he went 6 up, 6 down to finish off the seventh. And then in the bottom of the seventh, that's when the Raptors really got the bats going. In the bottom of the seventh, they scored 6 runs. They batted around, had 11 batters up to the bat, and also that was thanks to a couple of clutch pinch hits. Started off with an RBI single from Royce Clayton Jr., before there was also an RBI walk from Cameron Douglas. RBI fielder's choice from Ashton Zacher. Another RBI fielder's choice from Jack Guerrero. That's 4 runs there. Call it 6 after Pat Costin pinch hits for Hiroto Kobayashi. 2 RBI single. That kind of capped off the inning. Chris Diaz picked up a single right after that, but then a strikeout from Spencer Davis ended the inning. Following that, in the top of the eighth, it was a little bit scary as Alejandro Morales walked 2 guys and retired 2 before they turned to Jafet Martinez. Martinez walked another to load the bases, but got out with a fly out to shortstop. Bottom of the eighth, Raptors go 1-2-3 in the top of the ninth. Jafet Martinez allows a double, and then an error puts runners on the corners. But then it's a double play from Jonathan Fitz before Colin Senkpiel is retired 6-3 to end the top of the ninth. Bottom of the ninth comes around. Raptors put a runner on first on Cameron Douglas's single. Strikeout to Zacher. Guerrero gets on first with a single and sends Douglas over to third. So runners on the corners, but a strikeout of pinch hitter Drew Thompson and a strikeout of Chris Diaz ended the game. Final score once again, 9-7 Raptors, as the Raptors just couldn't get things rolling along. Best performance from Wisconsin Rapids. It's a little bit tough, but a couple of good players that had some big games, and I think it's got to go to the 2-RBI hit from Pat Costin. Just the one plate appearance, but it was a clutch one and helped make it a really close game. And looking at the rest of them, Chris Diaz reached base a few times, although one of those times was on an error. Noah Ruiz, he went 1-for-2 from the plate. Didn't really talk about him much because he was pinch hit for by Spencer Davis halfway through. And outside of that, Cameron Douglas reached base 3 times. He walked twice, picked up a single and an RBI, also scored a run, but he was the guy stranded at third to end the game. Pitching, though, today, Matthew Pinal, not too bad. Brent Gallegos, 1 run over 1 inning. Alejandro Morales and Jafet Martinez both were shut down over their innings, and well, that's about as much as you can get. The Raptors tomorrow going to be taking on Fond du Lac in the second game of the series, hoping for a better result than they got tonight. But we'll have to see what happens. You can catch the action here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids as first pitch is scheduled for 6:35 p.m. And we'll have the pregame show started at 6:20 to keep you updated with everything for tomorrow's game. But that's going to do it for our broadcast tonight. So a big thank you to all of you for tuning in. And I, as always, we do appreciate the support here from Witterfield, and hopefully we can see you at the game at some point this season. But until the next time, from myself, Austin Thomas, and from the entire rest of the Raptors organization, thank you and have a great rest of your night.
Narrative to push cuts to Medicaid that are going to affect everyone, including the people who voted for them.
And by the way, cuts that aren't necessarily explicit cuts, but by increasing those work requirements, those reporting requirements, as Kate can tell you, her hands are a little full right now as it is with the little one at home. Now imagine having to get online or fill out a form, and now you have to do it more often to prove that you've been working for 80 hours a month or whatever the case may be. And you finally just, you give up because you can't jump through all those hoops. And they say, you see, we didn't cut Medicaid.
Right.
Busy Kate decided she just couldn't fulfill the requirements anymore. She still needs it as much as ever.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what is happening and will happen if these women get cut off at 2 months, right? And this is actually why a lot of Republicans are for it, right? Because they know that, like, if these women drop off at 60 days, we know most of the postpartum deaths happen between 6 and 9 months. And beyond those, there's a lot of near-death experiences. There's a lot of situations where women end up in the emergency room. If they don't have insurance, that's not good for any of us as the state anyways, and having to pay for people who
emergency
don't have insurance.
Care. Sure.
So that's why they also support it. I think the fiscal estimate for this is like $20 million. And when we're looking at the overall biennial budget we have and the surplus we have, which is in the billions, it's literally like the tiniest fraction of that.
And just personally, the other thing that really annoys me to no end about this, I feel that there is this assumption by some that every woman's pregnancy experience is the same. And every pregnancy starts out great and it goes great and there's no problems and she gives birth and bingo, she's back. That's not reality.
No, it is not. And I say that as the husband of an OBGYN. And we have, of course, another OBGYN, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, on all the time. And Kate, you talk to, you know, countless moms. And the fact that there are still politicians who promote this Norman Rockwell version of pregnancy that is free of complications.
Yep.
And it doesn't just affect the coverage. We talked yesterday about how Iowa is the latest state to require people to watch a human growth development video that is riddled with inaccuracies so that they can have this cartoon depiction of how wonderful every pregnancy is. That just ain't so.
No, it's not. And even like my representative is a Republican, and one of the staffers I talk to all the time when I call tells me how his wife really dealt with postpartum depression very bad for a year. And so it's just like there are stories all over the place. And by the way, when we lose these moms, these kids are losing their moms.
Yes.
Like
yes.
We're not just letting them fall through the cracks. It's causing trauma to a child and an entire family. And we know the stats on what happens when a child that young grows up with trauma. They end up, you know, not only is it bad for them personally, but they have a higher rate of landing in poverty, incarceration, things like that. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like we have to bring in Joni Ernst to say, well, we're all going to die anyway.
Yeah.
That's the mindset we're getting from Republicans like Joni Ernst.
And Kate, the way you ended that is how whenever we talk about Robin Voss and this topic, I always end up with a huge crescendo, always petering out with, because I just want to say to him, why don't you care about people? What is it about you that makes you not care about the well-being of the individuals who live in the state that you claim to represent? Everything you do in your job seems like you dislike us and want nothing for us, because this right here, supported by so many, as you said, Kate, a wild cast of characters, he's just like, no, I don't think so.
Well, I was at the Senate hearing when this went through their health committee, and Representative Pat Snyder was in there, who's a Republican. And he said, if we can't get behind this, then what the hell are we doing here?
Wow.
Like, you know, and it's like,
yeah, I just agreed with him.
I know.
There is bipartisanship.
I know. I'm agreeing with Rand Paul lately. What's going on in this world? Kate Duffy is the founder of Motherhood for Good. We will include that clip in our show notes so you can take a look at the just warm way Robin Voss interacts with the lovely Luann Bird. Pat Kreitlow, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, 6 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday across the network. Thank you so very much for joining us, both of you. News is coming up next, and when we return, we're to talk about board games are good for you. That's all on the way. Don't go away. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A search is underway for a man accused of murdering his three young children at a remote campground outside Seattle. KIRO's Luke Ducey.
Investigators say information developed with the FBI led them to a campground deep inside the Cascade Mountains, where they found Travis Decker's abandoned truck and the bodies of his three daughters, just 5, 8, and 9 years old. A SWAT team search for Decker came up empty. According to family members, the 32-year-old struggled with mental health issues after leaving the military. Now, wanted on suspicion of murdering his own children and considered possibly armed and extremely dangerous. Luke Ducey for CBS News, Seattle.
The family of the Boulder, Colorado firebombing suspect is now in federal custody. CBS's Anna Schechter.
The eldest daughter just graduated high school, and then there are four younger children. So these are potentially really young kids